decision has to be made in the next 25 minutes or so on whether to charge Lisa Smith or release her from Garda custody. Yesterday, the 38-year-old Dundalk woman had her period of detention extended and has spent a third night in custody. She is being questioned over alleged terrorist offences. For more, I am joined by Cormac O'Keefe, security correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and Dr. Conor Hanley, lecturer in law at NUI Galway. Good morning to you both. Cormac, what are you hearing right now?
Well, speaking to a guard this morning, he described it as we are going down to the wire, which seems to be the case. There's only 20 minutes left, 10:25. The detention period is up, so she will either have to be brought to the CCJ before that time or released from custody, as in released from Kevin Street Garda Station, and she'll be entitled to walk out the door. So we just don't know at the moment. Obviously, discussions have been going on even later than perhaps we expected. We thought maybe the DPP might have given some kind of indication either late last night or early this morning. But perhaps the discussions were going on much later. Perhaps even the interviews were going on later than we expected. And we don't know. We simply don't know. Maybe a decision has been made not to charge, but the guards are keeping her in because they want to put all the questions to her and want to use up every single bit of time that they have. Or a decision has yet to be made, or has been made, but she has yet to go.
The longer it's left, though, Cormac, would one not be drawn towards the conclusion that it's either discharge her, release her without charge, or maybe just say they're preparing a file for the DPP?
Yeah, that you would think that might be the case, and they're just using all their time that they have available to put any last-minute questions to her. So it could well be the case that the DPP, in trying to make a decision on this, wants to see the full, complete file and have a detailed examination of the file themselves, perhaps rather than rushing it. The DPP probably has set certain thresholds for the guards to reach before she agrees to give the green light for a charge. So, We simply just don't know.
Yes, I mean, the decision may already have been taken, just not communicated publicly. And is it normal, would you say, for these kinds of detention periods to go right down to the last minute?
It's not common. What we heard from our own solicitor that she is cooperating with the guards, meaning she is talking. So often if suspects are in under legislation that allows them to be held for a long time, they are released substantially before that time. The drug legislation, which runs 7 days, is a classic example. So the fact that they have run this to the full 3 days means obviously the interviews have been some way substantial, that she has been cooperative to at least to a certain degree, and they've had to check out what she's had to say and then maybe come back to her again. And they need the time to do that because perhaps it could involve international inquiry. So this could be a complicated and time-consuming process to interview her in relation to the offences that they suspect her of.
Yes, and you've been writing in today's Irish Examiner that very much at the heart of the investigation is the Criminal Justice Terrorist Offences Act of 2005.
Yeah, but I mean, there's three sets of legislation at least. You have the Mother legislation, the 1939 Act of the Offences Against the State Act, and in that you have the offence of membership of an unlawful organisation. And that appears to be perhaps the one they're looking at. Then you have the 2005 Act, which brings in international terrorism into our legislation, and that creates a number of other offences, including engaging or attempting to engage in a terrorist activity or terrorist-linked activity abroad, or making a threat to engage in a terrorist activity. So they're quite broad offences. And then the third one was the 2015 Act, which is the Criminal Law Terrorist Offences Act, and included in that you have a number of offences, including public provocation to commit a terrorist offence. So it could be the case they've examined all three legislations to look at an offence, but membership might be the easier one to try and prosecute, perhaps.
Yes, stay with us if you can, Cormac. Conor Hanley, good morning to you again. You were speaking to us on Monday and you were making the point that this is new territory for the Gardaí and for the legal system here.
Yes, it is. Obviously, depending on what the exact charge, if there's going to be a charge, If it's membership of an unlawful organisation, of course, we have substantial experience in dealing with that in a domestic setting. Applying that offence to Islamic State and activities out in Syria, of course, poses its own unique difficulties, something that we have not come up against before. But we do have a body of jurisprudence relating to that charge. The other charges that Cormac mentioned, they're pretty much brand new, particularly the 2015 amendments. We have no guiding jurisprudence on any of them. So there is a certain amount of uncharted waters here, and which is why I guess it most commentators think that the membership charge is probably the most likely.
Now, one thing I suppose that's got to be borne in mind, if charges are laid down, one of the big issues, perhaps for the defence lawyers, would be whether or not Ms. Smith can get a fair trial in this country, given the level of media attention and online vitriol directed at her. Now, what are your thoughts on that, Conor?
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Now, there is, of course, always the possibility of a trial before the Special Criminal Court, which would rule out a jury and the difficulties associated with impaneling an impartial jury. So that's one possibility if the DPP takes the view that the case is unsuitable for trial in the ordinary courts. Outside of that, if we go down the route of a jury trial, that is going to be an issue. The authorities will have to take special care in the impanelment of any jurors to hear the case, assuming there is going to be a case. And again, just to stress the point that I made on Monday, Lisa Smith is presumptively innocent. She has not been convicted or charged with anything as yet, and we should not presume her guilt, even though, as you say, a great deal of vitriol has been directed against her online.
And just one other point, Conor, can you just clarify, if someone is released by the Gardaí, but a file is being prepared or sent to the DPP, what is the legal status of that person?
Well, again, she remains presumptively innocent, but there is provision in Section 30 of the Offences Against the State Act to allow for her rearrest in order to charge her at a subsequent date. There's also a more limited power to rearrest on certain grounds on warrant from the district court if new evidence has come to light. But
yes,
in general, she walks out. She is as free as any other citizen. Subject, of course, to as I said, this statutory power that enables the Gardaí to rearrest.
Would such a person be free, for instance, to leave the country?
Ostensibly, she's presumptively innocent. Now, whether she will be allowed into another country is a different matter, but she is ostensibly innocent. She's not been convicted of anything, so on what basis would we restrict her? She's not out on license. She's not out on bail. She has simply been released from Garda detention, and ostensibly she's the same as anybody else.
Okay, well, look, we'll watch developments. We'll know soon enough. My thanks to you both, and no doubt we may be certainly back to you, Cormac O'Keefe, security correspondent with the Irish Examiner. My thanks to you, and also my thanks to Dr. Conor Hanley, lecturer in law at NUI Galway. We'll be talking to the Finance and Public Expenditure Minister, Pascal Donoghue, after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.